and in the calendar of purposes, I believe, for this congregation. We are on exciting days, church. We're on an exciting journey. And Jesus is great. He's good. He's wonderful. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And I will tell you, we have been praying over and over and over again for revival, and I believe God's going to pour it out. Don't you? I don't believe that we are praying accidentally. I don't believe we have a God whose ear is closed, whose hand cannot reach out and heal, bring life and deliverance. And I believe we are going to see God move and pour out of His Spirit on all flesh, just like His Word says will happen. Who can say amen with me? God is going to fulfill His Word. We don't see it. That's why we don't live by sight, but by faith, right? We may not see it today. We see all sorts of things happening all around this world. But our Bible tells us God will fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. He is good. He's going to do it. Now, what I want to talk about this morning has also to tie in with Pentecost Sunday. But it's also in a series on evangelism. So the message is titled Supernatural Evangelism. That's the best kind after all, isn't it? We heard about it this morning. Supernatural evangelism. I'm listening to this story and I'm going, wow, that fits right in. Isn't that fantastic? The Lord does something we think by accident, not the Lord doing. We think an accident has occurred, and yet God brings something great out of it. Thank God you have that kind of Lord. Amen? Sometimes I'm chicken, Pastor Kevin. You know, right? Sometimes I'm chicken to share, to invite, just even to invite to church. What do I do? First, begin with prayer. Start with prayer. Ask God to move on their hearts. Cry out to God for revival. And cry out to God. Each of you, remember I asked you last week, I want you to just even put one person on your heart. Each of you has someone who's been on your heart this week. Thank you. Someone who is living there, a friend, a member of your family, and you want to be praying, God, move in this person's life and bless them, strengthen them, heal, deliver, encourage them. Let them come to you if they don't know you. And you cry out to God for them. And when you begin to pray and ask God to move on their heart with fresh revival, God puts His heart within you. Spending time with Jesus makes you more like Him, don't you know? You know, you're like the person you hang out with, right? Right? You end up like the person you hang out like you hang out with. That's why the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. And so that doesn't mean you don't touch people in the world. That's not what that means. But it means you hanging out friends, the ones you're really hanging out with, the ones you're close to, the ones you hang out by, are the ones who are going to sustain you and strengthen you in your faith. They're on the same page with you in heart and mind and vision, and they're going to encourage and cheer for you as you run after the Lord. Those are the kind of people you have sitting around you at Grace Christian Center, right? People who will cheer for you and encourage you. But Jesus is going to continue to make us His witnesses. Now, today's Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter on the church calendar and across the world, as we've already spoken this morning, people are celebrating the birth of the church. But let's see some of what that looked like as we take a look at supernatural evangelism. Pat, if you'll come, I'm going to put scriptures up here again this morning. Would you go to Acts chapter 2 in your own Bible? If you don't have one, we're happy to get you one, and I will have them up here on the screen as well. If you do have your Bible with you, I want you to see this in your own scripture, okay? But where we're going is Acts chapter 2. Now, just keep your finger there because, and then focus up on the overhead projector because I'm going to read a few scriptures before I go to Acts chapter 2. First of all, in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Being assembled together with them, Jesus, what's the next word underlined? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that word. Jesus did something, and I want you to boom it out really loud this time. One, two, three. Commanded. Wow. This is Mr. Grace, isn't it? Commanded? Well, I thought maybe it might be a nice suggestion from the Lord. After all, He's a gentleman. We've all heard that, right? And He is. But He still has commands. So what do we tune into here as we look at this verse? Something so important to Jesus. Something so crucial. Something so vital that he wanted his people to get that he actually issued a command. And he has a lot of them in the scriptures. But he's commanded them to not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water. Now read the rest with me, would you? But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8. Read it with me out loud, please. Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. What was that word?
Witnesses.
Wow. To me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Port Ludlow, in Port Townsend, in Port Hadlock, in Chemicum, in Irondale, over in Port Gatlin, and then out regionally, and then out nationally, and then out internationally. But you shall receive power. Acts 1, verses 13 and 14. They went up into the upper room where they were staying. Now, was this in obedience to the Lord? You bet. Wait until you get something more from God. Now, that doesn't mean you don't share with anybody, but he says, there's something I have for you, and I want you to get it, because you're going to get that power to be those witnesses by this movement that God is going to do for you. They went up into the upper room where they were staying. It's pretty exciting. There are thousands of people there today, and hundreds into the upper room, praying and interceding and seeking God for fresh revival. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. We know also, namely, there were at least 120 people that were in the upper room praying. Now, this is vital. This is not a casual suggestion from the Lord. He commands them to wait. Now, remember, Jesus is getting ready to ascend to his Father. But there was something more he wanted his disciples to receive before they were fully ready to take on kingdom work. They had already been breathed on by the Holy Spirit. They had already done a lot of kingdom work. But this is something different, something additional. You know something? We think of witnessing as something we do. Jesus sees it as something we are. He sees it as something we are, a living witness. So, therefore, he changes us to help us be that living witness. Jesus took the punishment. Okay, let's catch up to speed here. Where are we at with these disciples? All right, Jesus took the punishment. Their slate is clean. But how many understand Christianity is not just about getting your slate clean? That doesn't minimize that. That's fantastic. But it's a lot more than just getting your slate clean. You empty the vessel of sin, but you got to fill up the vessel again. So you get rid of the sin and fill it again. Now your choice is, what do you want to fill it with? And God's got the plan. Because there's more. John 20, verse 22. When he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now remember, in the book of John, he was sending his disciples out two by two, and he'd sent out 70, and he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and they went out and did fantastic things. Healings and miracles took place by the breath of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people can look at me this morning as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. By the way, are you aware the fastest growing churches and the greatest numbers in growing churches around the world in third world countries and elsewhere are charismatic Pentecostal by persuasion, where they believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is real, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are real, and that God is alive and well today. Amen? How many believe God's alive and well today? Turn to each other and say, he's alive! Hallelujah. He's alive. But some people can say to me, well, Pastor Kevin, all believers have the Holy Spirit. And you know what? They are absolutely right. How many understand that you couldn't even become a believer unless the Holy Spirit was involved in your life? Absolutely right. Precious, pure, wonderful, Holy Spirit-involved life. Absolutely. Now, let me just ask you a simple question. We'll just use this economically. How much is gold per ounce right now? 800 to 900 bucks, right? Looked it up this morning. 885 bucks an ounce this morning. Anybody got some gold they want to contribute? Okay. No, that's fine. You can just put your rings in the offering box at the end. No, okay. Okay. So it's valuable. How would you like to have a pound of gold? Oh, a few of you. Okay. The rest don't care. I'll take yours then. I'll take your portion. Okay. There you go. All right. You can have a pound of gold. Pure, precious, wonderful economic value. But you know what? I'd rather have 100 pounds. I'd rather have 1,000 pounds. I'd rather have all the gold. God owns all the gold. But there's the same purity, if it's processed in the right way, same power, same value, just more. Turn to each other, say, just more. How many in this room want all of God you can possibly have? I want all of God that I can possibly have. Some people say, that's selfish. Guess what? God doesn't mind. He wants you to have all of Him. All of Him you can handle. Lord, more. You know, we sing that old song. So I give you more of me. I want more of Jesus. More and more. Lord, I want to keep growing. I want to know you more, better. I want to become more sensitive to your Spirit. So what do we receive? What's the more? The gift of God Himself. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter, the Bible says. And when He was going away from His disciples, getting ready to ascend, He said, God is going to send you the Holy Spirit, a Comforter. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. And the Greek word for helper is parakletos. Parakletos, and it means consoler, intercessor, an advocate, a comforter. How many are glad to know that Jesus is praying for you right now? He's got His arm around you. He loves you. He cares. And the Holy Spirit is right here caring for you. He comforts. He strengthens. He convicts, the Bible says. He reminds you of Jesus. He gives you peace. He teaches you and leads you into truth. All of that is found in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. But now, we've already read a verse where He adds another dimension. Acts 1, verse 8 again. Say it with me, please. Boom it out. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now the Greek word for power and empowering there is the word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. Dynamite. Say that. Dynamite. Dunamis. Force. Especially it means miraculous power. The word witnesses, here's a fun one. The Greek word is martus. Sounds like, and it leads to our word martyr. Fun? Okay. Literally means a witness. Now, understand in theology and in the way things happened in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would fall upon certain individuals for certain tasks at hand. Think of Samson. Think of David. Think of some of the people. David actually walked under a real open heaven of New Testament grace and power. But think of Samson and some of the others who rose up as deliverers. Now in the New Testament, you come over to the New Testament, thank God we're on this side of the cross, church. In the New Testament, He wants all of His people to be able to drink from His Spirit. He wants the Spirit of God to fall upon, as the Bible says, upon all flesh. So let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, right where your finger is. Acts chapter 2, and let's see how supernatural evangelism unfolds. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with, what? One accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were, how many?
All.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What was that word?
All.
Are you sure? You know what that means? Thank you. All means all here. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But now, wait a minute. And this is age old in terms of concern, and I appreciate the concern. What if others come in and see this? They won't get it. Won't they be offended? Some might be upset. Well, some might be. But how many understand God knows exactly how to move in people's lives? How many understand God knows exactly what some people need to see? I'm not trying to offend anybody, nor do we want to offend anybody. But you know something? I grew up going to church. How many were like me? You grew up going to church every Sunday. Okay? How many grew up and you didn't darken the steps of a church door? Okay? All right? Now, I grew up going to church. And some of these things sort of made sense to me. Most of them, until I got saved, didn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Did church make sense to you before you got saved? Some of you are not committal. Okay? It makes a lot more sense when you give your heart to the Lord. Okay, but let me tell you something. I knew what church looked like. What? I knew what church sounded like. You know, you're supposed to wear a tie. And you know, and you sing a few songs, and you reach over, and sometimes the pastor does exactly what I do here. Shake each other's hands. I don't want to. Go meet somebody else. I don't want to meet anybody else. But I knew what it was supposed to look like. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does things in the assembly, decently and in order, that look different than what you've seen before, or else how will you know there's anything any different to go toward? How would you know there's anything more than what you've got? I know what church is, don't need it, been there, done that. But all of a sudden I go into this place and it's different. I ain't been there, I ain't done that. Not sure I wanna. But the Holy Spirit begins to work inside. And He says, Kevin, there's something more for you. I grew up going to church every Sunday, couldn't stand it. And then I went to a prayer meeting with friends in high school. And it's a real quiet little meeting. Everybody's sitting on the floor. We all did that. We were younger. We could get off easier off the floor. We were all sitting on the floor, and every now and then somebody would pray. And then somebody over here, this girl over on the other side of the room, she got touched by the Lord and she began to giggle. And then somebody else prayed out loud and they started giggling together. It lasted maybe 15 seconds. And I'm sitting here like this going, what a bunch of crazy fanatics. Boy, they weren't doing anything. And I went away 1 week. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I was miserable. And I kept hearing this thing inside. Now I know it's the voice of the Lord saying, go back. Go back. You need what they've got. Go back. Now, how would you like to be in this prayer meeting? Go back. I've never seen anything like this. This is a bunch of crazy folk. What? What's going on? Sometimes the Lord needs to be able to pop questions in people's hearts, and they'll never be there if everything's always the same as they've always seen. Okay. Remember, we're talking about supernatural evangelism. Acts 2, verses 6 through 13. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then the other verses go on to say the various places they were from, because this is one of the three times a year they all came up to celebrate the Passover, or the Pentecost and Passover, etc., in Jerusalem. But we hear them, verse 11, speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. What were they speaking? Say that phrase with me. The wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? How many of you believe God got their attention? The Lord ever get your attention? With a 2x4 or less? Hopefully easier. Whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. God knows exactly how to speak your language. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about tongues of men and angels. Sometimes, church, we understand the language, and sometimes we don't. Maybe it's a tongue of angels that men don't understand. But God knows exactly how to speak to your heart and to mine. Now, some might say to me, well, Kevin, these are all known languages. Church, they weren't known languages to the speakers. Those who were baptized in the Spirit that day did not know the language they were receiving. They were simply worshiping God, and the listeners heard languages that they could understand. That's why everybody was so amazed. Now you have to get the humor. I love how God takes us by surprise. Don't you? Smile at each other. Say, don't you love how God takes you by surprise? Do you know this word amazed? They were all amazed. You know what it means? It's exestemi. Exestemi in the Greek. And it means literally to put them out of their wits. They were astounded. They were insane. Now, notice that's what the Greek says about the onlookers. Because many times throughout the ages, people have used this verse to talk about those who were speaking in tongues, saying they were crazy, making ecstatic utterances. And the Bible instead says that about the onlookers. They were the ones who were driven crazy by God. But it's not a bad place to be in. God needs to knock us off our rockers sometimes to show us, wait a minute, Kevin, you don't have this all figured out. There's something more here. Now look what Jesus does. Supernatural evangelism. They heard the wonderful works of God. Acts 2, verses 14 through 18. 2:14-18. Peter then, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. I always look between the lines. What does that mean? If it was the tenth hour of the day, maybe sort of they might have been. You know, I'm sorry, that was a little aside. All right, these are not only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on how much? I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. That kind of lets you know what kind of continuum you are on and what you're experiencing before the Lord. Okay, I had a dream last night. Oh, okay. Just an old man. And on my men servants, and on my maid servants. Say it with me, church. It's fantastic. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Do you believe God will fulfill His word? Pentecost, held 50 days after Passover, also called the Feast of Weeks, one of the three major annual feasts before the Lord. Jesus was crucified at Passover, and He ascended 40 days after His resurrection, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out 50 days after His resurrection, 10 days after the ascension. Jews from all around the world, or the known nations, gathered in Jerusalem for this festival. Peter's presentation was given to an international audience. They had a common language. and it was given, and it resulted literally in a worldwide harvest of new believers, the first converts to Christianity. They took the gospel home with them wherever they went. They took this experience with God with them, home with them, wherever they went. Isn't that fantastic? The church's birth. Pentecost Sunday. Church birthed. How many can say amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're here because of that? So Pentecost. The Spirit poured out. Thousands gathered there again today. Right now. Praying. Isn't that fantastic? Now what happened? The Spirit moved like a rushing mighty wind. By the way, all throughout Israel, there are hundreds now of messianic churches. God is moving. The rushing mighty wind. The way God moved was in a rushing sense of the presence of God. There was a roaring of the Spirit. The Scripture, when it says the word mighty, it's biaios, and it means violent, a roaring, violent moving of the Spirit of God. The word wind is noe. And it means respiration, a breeze, breath, the breathing of God, the wind of the Spirit, the rushing, mighty wind moving on His people. And they were filled, pleuo, and it means to make replete, to cram full. How many want to be crammed full of God?
Amen.
I want to be crammed full of God. God filling up all their empty spaces is literally what the Greek means. And what's the result? Acts 2, verses 3 and 4, what was the result? Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All filled. Greek word is glossa, and glossolalia, for languages. And there was fire, like tongues of fire, and it literally means lightning. The brightness of the Spirit of God Himself, the light, the bright, the cleansing, the glory of God came on them. Now, if you've read or taken a look at Pastor Carl's book, you understand the Scripture, or one of the perspectives especially that he brings, and the Scripture teaches, is the glory of God covered Adam in the Garden of Eden. He didn't know he was naked. He was covered with the glory of God. The illumination, the brightness, the glory of God. Now sin took that brightness away. And here God is again clothing His people with radiant glory as He fills them with His baptism and baptizes them with His Spirit. You ever seen anybody who glows in the presence of God? Sure. They're filled, plethol, imbued by the Holy Spirit. Now, interesting. I just want to walk through a couple of thoughts with you here. The blast and the breathing of the Spirit of God came upon each of them. How did they know? Well, the visible glory of God was on their countenances. All received. Well, what did all receive? They began to speak with other tongues. Now, some people look at me and go, well, you know, I've tried that for years. I'm not here to pressure anybody. That's not the point. But God's gifts are available to all. We're here to pray for everybody and encourage everybody, and the gifts of God are available to all. No pressure, no condemnation, just release and joy. And watch what the Bible says. Now, how many have ever heard stories of revival when you've heard about church buildings literally on fire, literally fire trucks racing down the street to put out the fire, and it turned out it wasn't you? I'm sorry? You bet. That's right. Fantastic, Margie. Testimonies just like that all around the world. All around the world. The Spirit of God is alive and well. How many understand there were three major outpourings of the Holy Spirit in the last century, and we're crying out for a fresh move of God right now. 1902 to 1906 became known as the Azusa Street Revival. a black preacher, Charles Parham, in Azusa Street in California, began to preach about the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and it spread and it spread, and pretty soon people were coming from all around the world to this little wooden frame church on Azusa Street in California, and people were being baptized in the Holy Spirit, going back around the world, taking this experience to people all around the world. More prayer then happens, and a generation later in 1948, pretty amazing year, wouldn't you say, 1948, when Israel became a nation again, but at the same time, there was a simple little Bible school up in Saskatchewan, Canada, and some Bible school students were reading about this experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they said, well, something's got to be real. It doesn't say this passed away. And so they began to seek God and began to fast and pray and kneel before the Lord and cry out to God. And guess what? The Holy Spirit began to pour out on people's lives, and they had visions and prophecies, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the results of that whole movement. People began to fly in and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fly back out and take this experience around the world. And there were healings, and healing evangelism came out of this whole stream of what had occurred. And then we come up to 1968, 1969, 1967, 1971. And there was this huge move of the Holy Spirit that spread like wildfire. Living fire, good fire, not just wildfire, but fire through the denominational churches. And it's become known as the charismatic experience. And people were Lutheran and Pentecostal and Presbyterian and Baptist and Methodist and huge Catholic charismatic movement. As the walls came down and people were moved on by the Holy Spirit, and they began to realize, I'm not a denomination. I'm a Christian who loves Jesus. How about you? And churches sprang up all around the globe because people were filled with the Spirit and fell in love with their Jesus. A bunch of Jesus kids got saved in California at a certain church in California. And now a lot of those people are pastors, and some of those people are you and me. And we're here. And there was even a church started in the home of a dentist in Pullman, Washington. I was in the north end of Seattle, and I was getting ready to go to school. And somebody said, now you gotta go look up this Spirit-filled dentist. He's got a prayer meeting in his home. I went, okay. And a few months later, I made it there. But praise God, people were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit right and left, and people getting saved, and the atmosphere of revival. And church, we're praying again, God, pour out of your Spirit on all flesh, because it's not just Pentecost 2,000 years ago. It's what you're doing today in changing lives, helping lives, delivering and freeing and forgiving and setting people free. How many want God to move? Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Bring healing, bring deliverance, bring life. Show people that Jesus is the way. Now, sometimes people think it looks a little funny and sounds a little funny. It's okay, isn't it? It's okay. Because remember, He gives you power to be witnesses. And that word witness means martyr. Doesn't mean they'll necessarily take your life from you, but it might mean you're not going to be the catch of the day always. Interesting. Powerful moving. Now, let's see this repeated, and I'm going to quickly summarize and come to a close. This is repeated in Scripture, this whole experience. In Acts chapter 8, if you recall your Bible, Philip goes down to Samaria, and he preaches, and there are fantastic miracles that take place. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, and through that section, fantastic miracles and deliverance, and there's healings. And the result, the Bible says, is there was great joy in that city. There's a powerful moving of God there. Now, how many believe in order to have miracles and deliverances and healings, the Holy Spirit has to be there? But look at what the Bible says. Verses 14 through 17. Acts 8, 14 through 17. The Holy Spirit had to be there, or none of that would have occurred. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet He had fallen upon none of them. Wait a minute! That we already understood the Spirit was involved. Without question. But at this separate experience, distinct and wonderful, precious experience, had not yet occurred. Well, now wait a minute. You're just talking about water baptism, Pastor Kevin. That's all this is. Well, let's see what this is. where they only had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, wait a minute. Verse 16. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, he, the Holy Spirit. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or water baptism. Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Wow. Church, let me ask you a question. How did they know they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How did they know? Well, now you go to Acts chapter 10, and in Acts chapter 10, you see Peter taking the Spirit and the preaching of Jesus to the Gentiles. This is where Peter opens up the church, in essence, to the Gentiles. Remember, the sheets come down, don't call unclean what I've called clean, and some people are going to knock on your door, go to preach to them. You've got these people waiting at Cornelius' house, and they're devout, and they're seeking the Lord, and they're hungry for God, and Peter comes and says, "What do you guys want from me?" Well, tell us about Jesus. And in the middle of his sermon, God pours out his Spirit on hungry people. Watch, Acts chapter 10, 44 through 48. Acts 10, 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Well, ask yourself the question, how'd they know that? Verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Well, how do they know that? Verse 46. For they, say it with me please, heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, 47. You see all the distinct experiences here. Can anyone forbid water or water baptism, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have? So they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're going to be baptized in water. And he commanded them to be baptized, or water baptized, in the name of the Lord. They asked him to stay for a few days. How do they know the gift of the Spirit had been poured out? This is a different experience, an additional experience to water baptism. Each person can clearly, by the Bible's grace and God's anointing, receive the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the resulting sign of speaking in tongues. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is far more than just the sign of tongues. Are there other things? Pastor Kevin, I've received this experience, but I haven't had a breakthrough in tongues. Great. Well, then we'll just keep praying and keep praying for a breakthrough, and we'll stand with you. It's great. Most important thing is something supernaturally must have occurred and needs to have occurred in all of our lives. How many want more of God? But the resulting beautiful experience of receiving a personal prayer language, there's a whole stream of teaching, and I've taught on it in Building Your Faith. I urge you to listen to it. It's online at gracechristiancenter.us if you haven't heard it. But there's all sorts of things that the Lord does with you through the prayer language. Anybody in this room, and it won't take long to go on to this, but anybody in this room ever have a burden in your heart but you weren't sure what to pray for? Come on, you know what that's like. Wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm praying for Dave. In the middle of the night. A little inside joke there. Anyway, but this man has been busy, and I am praying for Dave. And so, we were teasing him last night. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I think of Dave. So we said, well, why don't we call? Dave, you up? Yeah, to answer the phone. I got up. You'll get that in a moment. Anyway, but sometimes the Lord might put a person on your heart. There's a burden on your heart. But you don't know what it is. Come on, has that ever happened? You know, it either can be bad pizza you ate, or it's a legitimate burden from God. And it might really be a sincere burden. What do? Begin to intercede. And let the Holy Spirit pray through you. That's what the Bible says speaking in tongues is. The Holy Spirit prays through you with sighs and groans that cannot be uttered. And you let the prayer language God gives you begin to flow forth. It's for the prayer language God gives you is a wonderful language for worship. As you lift up your hands and worship the Lord and love Him and adore Him. What does it mean? It means that all may speak in tongues. Pentecost Sunday isn't just an experience for 2,000 years ago. It's a fantastic experience for today. To tell you the truth, I grew up going to church every Sunday, the youngest of three. My grandfather was a preacher. I never knew him. He passed away before I was born, but that meant my mom was a preacher's kid, and I went every Sunday with her. Didn't like it. Couldn't understand it. until I got saved. But I never knew anything. I never knew anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was always told and believed I was supposed to be a good guy and live a good life. After all, I'm saved. I gave my life to Jesus. But I didn't know a thing about the power of God that would give me the strength, anointing, and life to be able to live this life. I shall give you power to be witnesses. Power to live this life. Power to go through the dealings of God. Anybody ever dealt with by God as He's cleaning up the work here? Sure, there's strength He gives you as you go through the process. What do you do? Pastor Kevin, what do I do then? Just be hungry. Be hungry. What do you do? How do you qualify to receive this? Number one, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if you haven't. Number two, repent from any known sin. Don't let anything come between you and God. Number three, renounce any occult activity. I'm talking about stuff that's common nowadays. I'm talking about horoscopes and witchcraft. I'm talking about seances. I'm talking about tarot cards. I'm talking about playing around with New Age religion. Get rid of it all. If you want the Holy Spirit involved in your life, you've got to get rid of all the gunk and let it out. Because Jesus wants to come into a clean vessel and He wants to speak to you and bless you. Then you ask Him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It can happen supernaturally. Kneel down at your by the side of your bed at home and say, okay, let's do this. People receive after coming right up out of the waters in water baptism. Seen it? Been praying for people. Hands are laid on them, the Bible says. And the other way, most commonly probably, is through the laying on of hands. Come up after the service. I know several people. We have joy and delight in being able to help pray for you to be released in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, one other thing, speaking in tongues. Let me just give you a word to the wise. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it takes faith. It takes faith. I'm going to tell you a little story. I've told you the story before, but it takes faith. You can't just drop your jaw and expect another language to jump out. You have to cooperate with God. You have to give Him your tongue, your vocal cords. You have to yield to Him. You have to get past this and yield to this, the moving of the Spirit in your life. Now, I'm going to just tell you a quick story I've told you before, but I'm going to tell it again. It bears telling. There's a man who had been prayed for, it's a true story, at his church for many years to receive this gift of speaking in tongues and the resulting sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was one of these guys with integrity that said, I am not going to fake this. I'm not going to make this up. You can't push me. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. He said, no pushing. Not going to fake it. But he would never open his mouth and begin to exercise it. You have to give it some voice. You have to begin to form some syllables. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit turns it into a prayer language. Anybody remember Pat Boone? You ever read Pat Boone's book, A New Song? It's exactly what happened to him. Anyway, this guy prayed for years and just would never do anything. One Sunday morning at his church service, went down to the altar area of his church and began to pray out loud prior to the service starting, a few minutes before the service started, loudly began to speak in tongues. Well, all around him, people started going, hey, praise God, Charlie's got a breakthrough. But after a little while of this, Charlie spun around, I don't know what his name was, but he looked around at everybody and said, huh, and you all think I'm speaking in tongues. I want you to know, you guys, I'm faking it just to get you off my back. Well, God's kind of coincidence. That morning, in that service, there were three visiting missionaries from China. And one of them raised his hand and said kind of timidly, well, excuse me, brother, you may think you've been making it up, but in reality, you've been praising God in perfect fluent Chinese. We had a gal in Pullman who had been the daughter of an ambassador to the Middle East, traveled all around to different countries, picked up bits and pieces of language, and she knew phrases, sentences, some language, and a lot of different Middle Eastern dialects and languages. And we were worshiping the Lord, and she was simply standing next to a girl who also was worshiping the Lord. The next thing we knew, this gal had almost fallen down under the power of God, collapsed onto her chair, began to cry, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit supernaturally, and began to speak in tongues. And she had, I might even think, she had resisted it. And here was her testimony. I stood next to this man worshiping, and I didn't want anything to do with this stuff. but I began to recognize he was praising God in the Middle Eastern languages that I had known. And this man had never learned those languages. Jesus is on the throne. He's still working today. Now, what people need to know is available to all, loving opportunity, command of the Lord, but no condemnation. We're here to see God move. Supernatural evangelism. Church, the best kind of evangelism is when God gets there first. Huh? You ever gone up to talk to somebody, I've just been so burdened for you, and they look at you and go, I know, the Lord was just talking to me about this. And you're going, thank God. Holy Spirit gets there first. That's when it's good. So, Lord, we pray for revival. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit on all flesh, just like you said. We believe you, we love you, and we thank you for it. Now watch, and we'll conclude. Elaine, would you come? Watch this last set of scriptures. Let's see what happens. Should we do these kinds of things in an abandoned back room? No. We do them out in the open, indecently and in order. But what's the result of supernatural evangelism? Verses 38 through 42. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Church, God knows how to draw the crowd. He knows how to save the crowd and deliver the crowd and heal and fill. And the beautiful thing of this section of Scripture is it wasn't just an experience at a meeting. They genuinely surrendered to Jesus and attached themselves to the body of Christ and went on to be taught and remained in fellowship. Church, let's pray for revival. Let's pray for God to move. Let's pray. You know, no matter how big you build a building, if you get 3,000 added to you in one night, it's just not big enough. What a delight. Amen? Let's stand before the Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you are good, that you are God, that you are moving, and you want to release people all over this room, all around this region. But even here this morning, Lord, I just understand and see you're moving on people's lives right now. And Lord, we give you room. Just slip up your hands before the Lord. We give you room to move. We give you room to move. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Now move, Lord God, move by your Spirit on people's lives. And where there's not been the baptism in the Holy Spirit, let it happen right now. Where there's not been a free release in speaking in tongues, we release it right now in Jesus' name. Where there's healing necessary, we release that healing right now in Jesus' name. Just begin to worship the Lord, church, right where you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you right now. And we thank you for the moving of your Spirit. Just keep your hands up and keep praying and seek the Lord and step out in faith and let God minister to you right where you are right now. Let him move upon you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, as you're sweeping across this room. Lord Jesus, we thank you. If you've already received a prayer language, step out and God will give you another one. And there's a different kind of purpose he may give you in another language to pray and intercede. Just continue to believe the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we believe you. We're believers here this morning. And Lord, we rejoice in you. We are so thankful for you. Oh, the glory of your presence. We, your people, oh, we now, we give you reverence.